great Billy Joe last night closed the Nassau Coliseum. Go ahead. Let him sing.
So someday, Mama Leone left a note on the door. Anthony's song, Moving Out, on the Stranger album, one of Billy Joel's greats. Sad night last night for folks like that. Jump in here, Bernie. Yeah. Out in Hackensack, is that all you get for your money?
And it seems such a waste of time.
It really is.
If that's what it's all about, Mama, if that's moving up,
then
I'm moving out.
And that's, of course, what the Islanders said. They moved out, and they closed it up. The Nassau Coliseum's done. Billy Joel played last night, the last night there, and it's a real shame.
It is a shame. What is he politically? I know, of course, one of my all-time favorites is Bruce Springsteen. Chris Christie came out yesterday and said Born to Run by Bruce is the greatest album of all time. But we know that Bruce is a liberal and the same as Jack Black and Ben Affleck and all those guys. What's Billy Joel?
Billy, I have no idea.
Yeah.
I don't know. He's
probably a liberal.
You know what? He's smart to keep it close to his vest.
Yeah.
He's smart because you alienate half the people. Who needs that?
If not more.
Right, exactly. Depending. Right, exactly.
Have you ever seen Billy Joel live in concert?
I have not, but I know
really?
He just got married. My wife went to see him about a month ago here at the Garden downstairs, and she said it was spectacular.
Yeah. I've seen him solo. I saw him perform with Elton John. Once
nice.
Or twice.
Wow.
And I had some fun once at the Nassau Coliseum. Rangers Islanders circa 1995 upstairs.
What do you mean?
I had some fun up there. I received
what,
the
some. The game was good?
It had nothing to do with the game.
What? What are you talking about?
We had. I was on a date one night. I took a young lady to the Ranger Islander game and Rangers scored three times, and I scored twice.
Oh, come on. That, you know, the voice you're hearing is Sid Rosenberg. This is the Geraldo Show here on 77 WABC. I am Bernard McGurk, and Sid getting dirty at a Ranger Islander game at the Nassau Coliseum.
No.
No wonder the place has got cockroaches running up. No wonder they closed it down. It's a hazardous waste site, for God's sakes. Do we want to hear this?
Yes. More of this, actually.
Speaking of which, in the newspaper this morning, New York Post, the picture of Ben Affleck and his former nanny. This thing's for real.
It is for real. Yeah. And Jennifer Garner, of course, the beautiful actress, and Ben were married for a very, very long time. Kids, the whole thing. And I remember very, very vividly when we had our first daughter, Ava, Danielle and I, and we were interviewing nannies. And one lady came over. She had, like, hair like you, basically, and a mole. Looked like that lady who served us lunch when we were kids. And she loved her. And some other girl came over, a 20-year-old Colombian girl, I swear to God, who was built like, you know, like Kim Kardashian, but 50 pounds less. And she's like, there's no way that girl's working here.
No.
No way.
She's smart.
Right. So Ben Affleck gets that nanny in the house. What is Jennifer going to think is going to happen?
Well, you know, that's a slur on all of us guys. I mean, we're not all, pigs.
We're not?
Yeah. No, we are. We are. It's stupid. It's really ridiculous. It is like the dumbest thing. And she is hot. There's a picture of her and Ben somewhere, some hotel. She's giving him a bottle of champagne. She's beautiful.
Yeah, she is beautiful.
And when you first heard the rumors that, you know, Ben Affleck was hosing the nanny, you thought Fran Drescher. You said, that can't be true. Cannot be true.
Right. That, actually, whenever I hear that stuff, I think it's true every single time. Every time. I watch those silly shows on like the E! Channel, entertainment shows and all that. I see folks sticking up for him. Please don't. He's not guilty until we really find out what happens. And, of course, he's guilty.
But they had the perfect, the perfect American marriage, two kids and, two glamorous movie stars, two daughters.
No such
thing. And a son, three kids, actually.
Do you know how many marriages in Hollywood fell apart this week? Reba McEntire, 20-plus years over this week. Will Smith and Jada Pinkett, 20-plus years over this week.
How about Blake Shelton and Miranda Lambert?
Miranda Lambert.
She was cheating on him.
No. That has been proven to be untrue. And I love Blake. I'm a big fan of The Voice, but it turned out that he was the one cheating.
Where are you getting your facts from?
I don't worry about it. I speak
You're
to Juliana
liar.
Rancic.
You're a liar.
I speak to Ryan Seacrest.
Speaking of Juliana Rancic, yeah. I remember she got thrown under the bus by that weasel Kelly Osbourne.
Yes, Kelly Osbourne said she's a racist, and Kelly Osbourne quit Fashion Police because of Juliana Rancic.
Well, that's not why. She used that as an excuse.
Oh, okay.
Because she's a freaking hypocrite punk weasel.
No.
And she threw it. What Juliana Rancic did was was really harmless. And by the way, Kathy Griffin jumped in on that and got away with it scot-free.
Yeah.
Nobody said anything if you listen to the tape. Anyway, Kelly Osbourne, she was on The View, Mike, cut nine here.
If you kick every Latino out of this country, then who is going to be cleaning your toilet, Donald Trump?
Oh, that's
not. In the sense that
they don't. Latinos are not only the only people.
No, I didn't mean it like that. Come on. No, I would never mean it like that.
Who's the racist now, Kelly Osbourne?
Oh, my God.
Huh?
That is unreal.
That's Kelly Osbourne, the hypocrite who, it was too, high and mighty and couldn't stand next to Julian
right.
Rancic.
Well, at least we know she likes Donald Trump.
That P-word. Yeah, no, yeah. Well, she was allegedly trying to make a point, but screw her. I mean, after what she did to Juliana, the hell with her. No, she apologized.
I'm a Juliana fan, too. And, of course, Bill, I'll never forget, on your show years and years ago, when Bill won the very first ever Apprentice, before Celebrity Apprentice, Bill Rancic won the very first ever one. He married Juliana when she was Juliana DePonte. Now she's Juliana Rancic. And he became a pretty good friend of the Imus show years ago. This is, you wouldn't even remember.
Bill Rancic?
Yes. He was on a couple of times.
I don't even remember that. I swear to God.
That's unreal.
And who's the guy who did all the drugs, you or me?
Right.
It's you, and I can't remember.
I think it was you.
Well, you know what? So anyway, Kelly Osbourne, you know, what goes around comes around, B-word. So anyway, let's get to the debates. You know, we're Bernard McGurk, Sid Rosenberg in for Geraldo, and we're honored to be sitting in for Geraldo. The number here is 1-866-437-2536, 1-866-Geraldo, and they came up with a list of names of people who will make the debate, and no real surprises except the fact that John Kasich made the 10th spot.
Yeah.
It was supposed to be Rick Perry.
Well, we didn't know that. They said last week that there was literally a battle between three people for the final two spots. It was Kasich, it was Chris Christie, it was Rick Perry. And as it turned out, Rick Perry does not make it, which does beg this question, Bernard. The kiddies table, they're calling this now. It's the kids table.
Yeah, right.
The folks that didn't make it. And we're talking, of course, about Rick Perry. We're talking about George Pataki, Carly Fiorina, Santorum, Gilmore, Lindsey Graham, and Bobby Jindal. Of those folks, almost like an all-star game when somebody doesn't make it. Fans are upset. Oh, that guy should have made it. Any of those folks that you're disappointed are not going to debate tomorrow night?
I can't say I'm disappointed. The crowd is too big. The field is way too big. I mean, but I like Jindal. I like Fiorina. I actually met her, talked to her. But I was very impressed. She did an interview with Chris Wilde. Very smart lady.
Yes.
I actually said to her in the O'Reilly green room that she'd make a great running mate. And she took offense. Did you say that to me because I'm a woman?
Oh, my God.
She said, would you say that to Marco Rubio? I said, as a matter of fact, I would.
Right.
I would.
Yeah.
Because you don't have, I said, because Marco Rubio has no real experience managing anything like the governors do. He's a senator. I say, you do, but you have no political experience. You never held office, and that's why I say that. I said, so I apologize if I offended you, but anyway, I was very impressed by her.
Yeah.
And so, I like those people. I'm sorry our guy, Peter King, the congressman, who threatened. He didn't throw his hat in the ring, and he could have been on that the little kids table. He would have been there.
But the good news is he may not be at the kids' table tomorrow night, but coming up in about 48 minutes right here live in these WABC studios, the aforementioned Peter King will sit with you and I and talk about the debate. How about that?
That is something. He's going to be right here live.
Right here live. Yeah. It's a big deal.
Long live the king.
I know. I think I screwed up. I think I invited the Peter King from Sports Illustrated.
Okay. As long as it's not Larry King. And, listen, Donald Trump. Last night on O'Reilly, he gave an interview.
I saw it.
Right. And he seems to, take a listen to Cut 7, Mike.
Are you a little apprehensive?
I would think so. I mean, you don't know what's going to come at you. You don't know where these other people are going to come. You don't know whether or not the three folks that are asking the questions, I mean, they're going to try and trick you up, which is unfortunate because all of that has nothing to do with being a great president. But I'm doing it because it's something you have to do.
It's something he has to do.
Yeah.
He's got to save the country.
He does.
You got to have that attitude. You got to have that, you got to have that kind of confidence.
He has been killing it in the polls. He continues to move ahead by a nice little distance. And really the only question is for tomorrow night, two questions. First of all, what other guy, whether it's Jeb Bush or Scott Walker or Ted Cruz or Marco Rubio steps up and says something good? And secondly, can Donald Trump take it more advantage tomorrow night, be so good that he even lengthens his lead in the polls? I don't think that'll happen. But if it does, this thing could be over quickly.
I think it's going to be anticlimactic. It's not going to move anybody anywhere unless they, nobody's going to confront Trump. It's a very unwieldy 10 people. It's too many people on the stage.
Yeah.
Trump is going to filibuster. He's not going to give any answers. He's not really going to attack anybody. The moderator is going to try to press him, but again, 90-second answers. The 90 seconds will elapse before they can press him to give an answer. Now he doesn't want to attack again. They're going to be conservative moderators for the most part. I mean,
right.
They're Fox News. They're Brett Baer is pretty much down the middle. Chris Wallace down the middle.
Chris Wallace, by the way, promising to throw some doozies at these folks tomorrow night. He has said that more than once.
Now there's a story in the New York Daily News this morning. It comes from New York Magazine, actually. It says that Donald Trump, he reached out to Rudy Giuliani to ask Roger Ailes to lean on Megyn Kelly not to be so rough on him.
Is that right?
Believe it or not, Daily News this morning.
That's not Donald Trump-like.
That is not. By the way, Bernard McGurk, Sid Rosenberg, in for Geraldo, the number 866-437-2536, 866-Geraldo. Yes, Donald Trump asked Giuliani to ask Roger Ailes to ask Megyn Kelly to take it easy on him. And the reason is he did an interview with Megyn Kelly back in May, and apparently she pressed him on. She was tough on him. She was Megyn Kelly. She went all Megyn Kelly on him. Mm-hmm. Anyway, listen to part of that exchange. Cut one, Mike.
You haven't been a military leader, and you haven't actually governed a state or a...
Okay, so all over the world I do business. I make great deals. I've made hundreds of millions of dollars against China. All over the world, I make money, and I build great things. We're talking about building walls. Who's going to build a wall like me on the southern border? I built a great company.
That's unreal.
That's the story, and that's the genesis of the of his concern, apparently.
The big story, too, is really what you've been talking about for days. I know it came up on Bill O'Reilly last night, which, once again, you were terrific, and that is, what will these other candidates do to combat, to contest Donald Trump? Because even if he doesn't go up there and try to kill everybody else, at the end of the day, it's like a football game, right? When you've got a Lawrence Taylor, Bernard, on one side of the football, the opposing coaches, all they do all week long is prepare for Lawrence Taylor. That's it. Same thing here.
Every
candidate is preparing for Donald Trump, whether he attacks them or not. That's all they're thinking about all week. He's already won because he's inside all their heads.
That is exactly right. He is the man. He's the guy to attack to make your name off of. And last night, that was the topic for us, and I said that humor is the way to go. Go at Donald Trump with some humor. And one of the things I said was to ask Trump if he checked to see if El Chapo was hiding in his hair. And a couple of other things that I wanted to say but didn't was that Governor Christie, for example, was governor of, where Trump had his casinos.
Right.
I'd say, how can you manage the economy when you've had more bankruptcies than I've had salads? That could be a good line.
Funny.
He could take Trump down and get a good line, self-deprecating.
Sure.
Or somebody mentioned that we have a couple of surgeons on stage who could help surgically remove the foot you're inevitably going to put in your mouth tonight. Something like that.
That's funny.
That's what they have to do.
Ben Carson, that's perfect.
And according to Jackie Mason in the paper this morning, that's what it's come down to, one-liners. He says, Jackie Mason says that, he says the whole thing, it's an idiotic way to pick a president of the United States. You'll see somebody ask a question on how to deal with terrorism in 18 countries, and the candidate has 2 minutes to explain how to resolve the whole problem and save the whole universe. Is what he says. He says, so you got to do a one-liner.
Yeah.
And he says, if Buddy Hackett was alive today, he'd be president.
One of the greats.
So that's Jackie Mason in the New York
Daily
News.
One thing you just said, though, that deserves to be mentioned again is Chris Christie. I think a lot of folks think that Chris Christie is basically Donald Trump in that he's going to tell it the way it is. He can get a little feisty, we know that, but a little more professional. If you expect Trump to go at Christie, you just said it. Because Trump has interest in Atlantic City, and they're not doing very, very well, don't look for Donald Trump to jump all over Chris Christie, because he needs them.
That is true. That's potentially true. Listen, speaking of which, we have more tape. We have tape on Christie talking about Trump and tape on Trump talking about Christie. And we're going to take your calls here on 77 WABC at 866-437-2536, 866-Geraldo, Bernard McGurk, Sid Rosenberg in for the great Geraldo. We'll be back right after this with your calls. Shout out to my boy Frankie Russo out in Brooklyn.
Was that a joke or was that for real? like a Jerky Boys ad or something.
Yeah, no, Frankie Russo's got a show here.
Frankie Russo?
1 o'clock Saturday morning or Friday night, whichever way you look at it.
I think I used to go to the Bay Club with him way back when on Knob Street in Brooklyn.
I think I went to university with him. No. Let's see. That was a Billy Joel song, bringing Sid Rosenberg and Bernard McGurk in for Geraldo.
Same album, by the way. We started the show with Anthony's song, Moving Out. That was Only the Good Die Young, both off of the Stranger album.
I'm really impressed with your knowledge.
Yes.
I swear to God.
Oh, yeah.
And the number here is 866-437-2536, 866-Geraldo. We're going to go to Joe on Long Island. Joe, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. Bernie and Sid, what a team of talent. Holy jeez. I can't believe it.
Hey, you're the man, Joe. What's up, man?
I just gave a lot of people a lot of breaks, but you guys deserve a compliment, man. You guys definitely own the talent. You're not only witty, you're both quick. Bernie, you're the best. You're the master. I just want to say hello. Give the guys a compliment. Good hearing you. Sid, it was a pleasure to listen to you. It was like sitting on the seat edge every time you got on board. We didn't know what you were going to say, what you were going to do, how you were going to screw up. It was a ball of fun.
By the way, that makes two of us.
Nothing has changed. Nothing has changed either, Joe.
Right. Just don't go anywhere. Trust me. By 12 o'clock, anything can happen, Joe. Just trust me.
All right. Oh, I'm here. I'm driving around New Jersey. It's a pleasure to listen to you guys. Bernie, you're the best.
Thanks, Joe.
Good hearing you, Sid.
You're making me blush. Thanks for the call, Joe.
Thank you.
David. David from Central Jersey, it says here. David, you're on 77 WABC. What's up, brother?
Thanks for taking my call. All I'm looking for is somebody to have the courage to say tomorrow night that there will be no more setting a red line and then not observing it, and that they will have a plan on their desk in the Oval Office to obliterate the nuclear capacity of Iran at the slightest significant deviation from the monitoring. That's all I want to hear.
So you're a one issue person. Is that what you're telling us?
Yeah, because there's no bigger issue than Iran, and if they're willing to put themselves on the line that they will bomb Iran's nuclear making capacity.
All right, let me ask you. Let me play devil's advocate. What is ISIS not a bigger issue than Iran?
No. I agree with the caller. No, not even close.
You don't think so, huh?
No, of course not. I mean, first of all, any Jew, Chuck Schumer, if you're listening, you should be humiliated and embarrassed. And any Jewish person, I've got plenty of friends and relatives who are Jewish, live in Rockland County, live in Brooklyn. They're liberal Democrats. They vote Democrat. If you're a Jew and you're okay with this, honestly, give in your Jew card today. Just get out. Don't go to temple anymore. Just stay away. You're no longer Jewish, in my opinion. That's it.
And what if you're not Jewish?
Then I could see why you may like the deal.
Sid Rosenberg and Bernard McGurk on 77 WABC. More on that after this.
You may be right. I may be crazy. Oh, but it just may be a lunatic you're looking for. It's too late to fight. It's too late to change. You may be wrong.
Nice.
But you may be right.
You know, people are going to think Billy Joel died today or something.
I know. You know, speaking of which, we were talking about Billy Joel closed the Nassau Coliseum last night. Here on the Geraldo Show, Bernard McGurk, Sid Rosenberg. Yes, Nassau Coliseum last night. But Billy Joel got married about a month ago to some 30-something-year-old. This guy's, first of all, he's got more energy. He's 68 years old?
He's close to 70, yeah, believe it or not.
He's doing shows, like 50 shows a year at the Garden and Nassau Coliseum. He's marrying young girls. Those ED pills are really, they really work or something.
I told you. Cialis is much better than Viagra. I told you that, too.
Yeah.
And he said, what about the side effects? I said, yes, you break out in orgasms. Oh, my God. It's horrible.
And you know what? Sid's not kidding.
No, I'm not.
He's dead serious.
I am dead serious. You know, the last caller, though, brought up an interesting point when he said that for him, this debate all about tomorrow night is all about one issue in Iran. And I would pose this question to you, whether it's immigration, whether it is foreign policy. You mentioned ISIS. This caller mentioned Iran, immigration, any one of these issues. What are you looking for tomorrow night? What issue do you think these candidates have to do well with tomorrow night?
I'm not a single issue person. What I'm looking for is what Trump is doing. This nation is, we've been like a nation of suckers up until now. I mean, everything, he wants to put us first, in other words, instead of getting involved in stupid wars in the Middle East, for example, like we did before. We'll stay out of wars like that. We'll screw Mexico. Maybe revert back to protectionist policies if Mexico doesn't stop sending immigrants here, illegal immigrants. In other words, just that type of attitude, that type of mentality, that type of brash, bold, in-your-face, F you, America first attitude.
Yeah, but
that's what I'm looking for.
I agree with you, but Donald Trump would bomb Iran tomorrow, and you don't sound like you want to go that way.
Donald Trump would make a better deal. with Iran. In other words, that stupid 24-day thing.
There is no better deal.
For example.
There is no better deal. Stop. There's no better deal. You want to make it 7
but
days.
But Donald Trump would definitely put America first.
I agree with that. But there is no better. Look, at the end of the day, we are not stopping Iran from making a nuclear bomb. We are delaying the process. If in fact, by the way, they comply, you have to be a moron to think that.
I think the deal is completely naive.
Right.
But again, I'm not a single-issue person. That's not the only one. Everybody on that stage tomorrow is against the deal. They think it's stupid. They think it's a legacy builder. And they think that Obama and Kerry, both of them, sympathize with the Muslims, essentially. But, for example, you for troops, sending troops over to fight ISIS?
I think eventually, if you really want to eradicate ISIS, you have to do it. No, I'm not into it. I don't want to see our kids die.
No, but you see, you have Iran and you have the countries there. Those idiots should be doing the fighting.
Why
should we be sending our guys, repeat the same mistake that we repeated of what was it, 12, 13 years ago?
Well, that was a mistake.
That is
initially
idiotic.
But I will say this.
You just admitted that you wanted, you would send more troops. Yes. Do it again.
No, you're talking about Iraq.
And in the meantime, who's fighting ISIS? Are the Iranians? Are the Shiites? Are those people are fighting ISIS. You said, the last caller mentioned, you can't draw a red line in the sand and then go back. Well, you know what? That was the smartest thing Obama ever did. And you know why? Because who's fighting ISIS but that the Syrian regime that he drew the red line against? Instead of if he would have bombed the Syrian regime as these people wanted him to do, we would have been helping ISIS. ISIS, according to the FBI director, James Comey, is the real threat. That's what keeps him up at night. It's the lone wolf terrorists that they're inspiring over here. It's not the Iranians that are doing it. It's the ISIS people. That is the biggest threat to us right now. The Iranian threat's a bad thing, and the deal is stupid. But the biggest threat to us are those ISIS people. And I say, and I think Donald Trump would do something like this. He already spoke about bombing the oil fields over there.
Right.
Bomb these people.
I agree.
Bomb the hell. Carpet bomb.
I agree.
Tomorrow, by the way, is the 70th anniversary of the Hiroshima bombing.
Yes.
People talk about collateral damage. Well, you know what? There was a lot of collateral damage in the Hiroshima bombing and the Nagasaki bombing. But what did it do? It saved American lives. And you know why we were justified? Because they started it.
They did.
And that's what we should do with ISIS. Not sending in any more troops. Not win over hearts and minds. Hand out lollipops. Because once you go in there with troops, by the way, you can't just go in and beat them up and leave. You have to stay there and establish a viable government, which entails nation building, which is what we did before. That got all our guys killed,
and now we
lost the land again.
No. First of all, that's not maybe in the early 2000s, yes. But for example, I spoke to Kevin Latch last week. He was in the movie American Sniper. He served two tours alongside Chris Kyle in Iraq, okay? He was there in Ramadi in 2010 when we lost our first Navy SEAL, okay? We owned those cities in and around Baghdad.
Yes,
we built them. We owned them.
I know.
And only because
at the expense of a lot of American lives.
Not
I know
a lot.
That.
And only because Barack Obama took our kids out.
That's easy for you to say not a lot.
Well, you know what's funny about that is I get the liberals telling me all the time. I get the liberals. I don't want our kids dying over there. But when I speak to the guys like Kevin Latch, they go, that's why we serve.
Of course, they're warriors.
Right.
Of course they're going to say that.
Well.
They're warriors. But what's the point? Why do that for people who hate us? Tell me why. You get no answer. But checkmate. It's stupid. They hate us. We left there. We exited Iraq in the most ignominious way. They didn't throw parades for us. We slunk out and marched into Kuwait.
And what's happened
and
since?
And they hated our guts.
I get it. But what's happened
all
since? Now ISIS has taken over Ramadi. They built a stronghold there. They weren't
forget
there
what happened since. The mistake, the folly was going in the first place.
That's fine, but we can go over that a million.
All right,
you're right.
We should not go back. We should just
why not? Why not go back with a better plan?
Because then you have guys dying and your nation building. You're doing the same stupid thing.
Okay, but
again.
So you want to use force? You want to bomb them?
That's exactly right.
That's fine.
Bomb
that's fine.
Them. You're into that.
Just don't sit down and do deals. Don't sit down and play nice deals.
And as far as the Iran deal goes, the 24-day thing. I think Bibi Netanyahu. Let's see. Cut 18, Mike. He had the best analogy on this. Take a listen.
They can cheat on the deal because the inspections are not instantaneous anywhere, anytime, as Foreign Minister of Iran Zarif said correctly. In fact, you don't have them inspections within 24 hours. You have 24 days before you can inspect any site that you find suspicious in Iran. 24 days. Can you imagine giving a drug dealer 24 days notice before you check the premises? That's a lot of time to flush a lot of meth down the toilet.
Now, that's something that you can relate to.
Absolutely.
Right? Right? That's something that you, that's why I played
yes,
it.
Yes, so
that hammers home the point.
Netanyahu today also in the local paper is saying that, just so you know, yes, we're the target. Israel is a target, but don't confuse the issue of the United States. They want you just as bad as
us. See, that's what Netanyahu does. The Iran is more of a threat to Israel than it is to the United States.
I would face so.
I mean,
yes.
we have a big moat between us and and in Europe. And the Middle East, and so that's your concern. I mean, let's face it, my father is an Irishman, and all he cares about is Ireland. I understand that mentality, and that's why you're a single issue person. But I'm against that deal too. I think it's stupid, and I agree totally with Netanyahu.
It's not just the deal; it's the way the deal went down. John Kerry not disclosing all the information. John Kerry admitting just last week, your Secretary of State, not yours, admitting last week he hasn't even seen the completed deal. And when pressed on television whether he will see the completed deal at some point, he was like, I don't know.
But
I don't have it.
I must tell
you. What is that?
No, it's stupid. I don't put my faith in Kerry and those guys. They're not Donald Trump. They're not tough negotiators, as he would say. But Geraldo Rivera's point on this very show, who we're sitting in for, Bernard McGurk and Sid Rosenberg, is the threat to the United States is the Sunni-based extremist, not the Shiite-based extremist.
Correct.
And, by the way, the Shiites and the Sunnis are fighting each other over there. Let them kill each other, and if we have to, let's go. Then we'll bomb. No troops, no meddling, no getting involved. Put America first is the bottom line. And on that note, let's go to it. Let's take a call of Lee. Lee from Stamford, Connecticut. Lee, you're on 77 WABC.
It's great to hear you guys together. Long listener of I Miss Bernie. I remember OJ the Musical and Sid. You sound great. I'm glad things are going well.
Thank you.
A couple things. First, Bernie, I'd be careful by saying we got a big moat in front of us that burned us once a while ago. These guys are smarter than we think, so we should never.
I agree. I said that ISIS, the Sunni ISIS extremists, and the social media inspiring the lone wolves over here is. I agree with James Comey. That's what keeps Comey up at night. I totally agree with that.
It's a totally different world than it was in 9/11, and they have, you know, many more.
Right, but don't conflate that with the Iranian issue. Don't conflate the two. That's my only point is don't conflate the two. The Iranian issue and the Sunni issue, they're two different groups, entities that hate each other. And the one that we have to focus on here, as far as the United States is concerned, is ISIS. Now, we definitely have to subdue. We don't want Iran getting any nukes either over there. Because down the road, they can cause a lot of trouble, and they are a danger to Israel, no doubt about it. Go ahead.
I agree 100%. The other thing was you want to know about the policy.
Now we're losing them.
In the debates tomorrow night.
Yeah, yeah.
We have a president right now who goes around the world, you know, apologizing and not really extolling all the magical things about our country. If you get one or two candidates that are forceful and eloquent as to why this is the place to be and why we should be doing certain things and not apologizing, you're going to get some big surprises. It might even happen at the kiddie table. Someone like Carly Fiorino, who's as eloquent as they come.
Yeah, I agree.
Love her, too.
She's running businesses that most of these guys don't even know how to run, and she knows all the world leaders. But that said, I'm not saying that she's definitely the one, but the candidate that distinguishes themselves as America first, without all the BS and without all the sniping, is going to be the guy who's grabbing the headlights or girl who grabs the headlights, you know, the headlines the next day.
Very good.
I just want to say it's great to talk to you guys.
Thank you.
Wish you both the best.
Thanks, Lee. Thanks for your call on 77 WABC. Now, Lee makes it. Carly Fiorina, by the way, the feminists talk about Hillary Clinton breaking the glass ceiling.
Yeah.
Listen. She wrote her husband's coattails. She's a liar. She's corrupt. And she wrote her husband's coattails. And she attacked the women who were victims of Bill's perversions or
whatever
you call it.
She blamed them. And by the way, she's also the FBI has gone after her emails as of today.
That's true. But as far as the feminist part, the nuts and sluts defense, that was her and Carville and Begala. Yep. That was Hillary.
Yep. Yep.
Now, Carly Fiorina is a self-made woman in business. Donald Trump will say, well, she didn't. You know, she got fired ugly at Hewlett-Packard, whatever. She's still a self-made woman and a smart lady. Now, back to the Iran thing. The celebrities coming out, Hollywood, they want this agreement. By the way, President Obama is going to speak in a little while at American University. We're going to monitor that. But listen to what Jack Black and Morgan Freeman talk about the arraignment.
And Natasha Lyonne, too, who just was in Orange is the New Black and also American Pie. She's a big star as well.
All right. Well, we edited this. I don't know if she's part of this particular version, but take a listen.
I love playing Frisbee with my sons.
I love to see my grandkids smile.
But if Congress sabotages the nuclear deal with Iran?
We could be denied the very moments that make our lives worth living.
Why?
Dude, because we'd be dead.
Super dead.
Like totally fried by a major nuclear bomb dead.
I won't be able to play Frisbee with my sons because there won't even be a Frisbee. The Frisbee will be melted.
We're not actually worried about Iran dropping a nuclear weapon on the United States.
Holy shit. Is that...
Yes, Jack, it's me, Queen Noor from Jordan.
Look, it is true that if Congress sabotages this deal, there would be nothing stopping Iran from getting the bomb. That would likely spark an arms race throughout the region.
Precisely, Ambassador Pickering.
Ultimately, we could be forced into a war with Iran. Another dangerous, drawn-out, and expensive conflict in the Middle East with many lives lost.
I think we've heard enough. Morgan Freeman, Natasha Lyonne, and Jack Black. You know, the three. I've always hated that black bastard. And I love Morgan Freeman, by the way.
You're talking about Jack Black.
You see what I did there?
I saw what you did there. It's very good. And what these morons don't seem to understand is there is nothing about this deal that stops Iran from making a nuclear bomb. It just delays the inevitable. That's all it does if they comply.
Being a procrastinator, I don't know if that's such a bad thing. I put everything off. But, listen, just having a guy like Jack Black come out for the deal makes me more against the deal than ever. And look who just walked into the studio. Congressman Peter King.
Look at him, huh?
Look at this handsome guy.
He is a handsome guy.
Wow, look at him. He's big, too. What do you want? Doing juice, too? Like I said, you're taking the pumping iron?
Rodriguez and Roger Clemens, right?
Anyway, do we have to take a break, Mike? Here in Sid Rosenberg, Bernard McGurk, Peter King coming up here on 77 WABC. The number 866-HERALDO. We're back after this. Yes, sir. Back in the Geraldo Show. Bernard McGurk, Sid Rosenberg, 77 WABC. Peter King, Congressman Peter King coming up. 866-HERALDO is the number. Let's go right up to our WABC line. Susan from Brooklyn. Susan, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. This is deja vu all over again hearing you two.
That's right. Sid and I both, we worked on the Imus in the Morning Show together. Of course, I'm still there.
Yeah.
And
that's nice of you to say.
Sid left. Sid's the morning host in Miami right now. For those of you who don't know, he is a morning host. So anyway, Susan, what did you want to say?
I want to say that I agree with you, Bernie, about Fiorina. I think she's fantastic. She hasn't gotten the traction I think she deserves. I think she will. But I'm really, here as a New Yorker, a longtime Republican, and I've been a delegate, and just seeing the New York State Republican Party, which is just...
Susan, up against a hard break. She should be the vice president back after this.
What has he got, if not himself, then he
has not
to say the things...
This is for the congressman. Sing along, congressman.
Hey, great to be here, Bernard. Shit, good to be with you guys.
Little Sinatra for you.
Come on.
Sinatra, hey, I love Sinatra, by the way. I love it.
Let's hear you belt one out. Come on.
Yeah, let's hear it. Come on, Peter.
Oh, my God.
He did some blow. Oh, that's what he said.
That's it. Sid took the blow.
Yeah.
Anyway, back on the Geraldo Show. Frank Sinatra, thank you.
Does anybody miss Geraldo or what? I think it's great that he's not here yet.
You know what? Geraldo is like yourself, Congressman. Geraldo is a New York legend. I'm Bernard McGurk. That's Sid Rosenberg, Congressman Peter King from Long Island, my former congressman. And, yes, we're in for the great the Puerto Rican pride of New York, Geraldo Rivera.
Actually, Geraldo is a great friend, and I got to be careful because his brother is a constituent of mine. So I really got to be here.
Craig?
Yeah. Good guy.
Oh, he's a great guy. Yeah, Craig. He produces Geraldo's TV pieces. Anyway, Congressman, last night they closed the... First of all, it's great to have you. Thanks for coming in.
Great to be here. Thank you.
We're 17 stories above Madison Square Garden with the congressman. And the first thing I want to ask you about... Well, first of all, let me ask you about the debates. The last night, I mean, you could easily have... You should have been at least at the...
Kids' table.
The little kids' table.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're breaking my heart, actually. Yeah, I would have loved to be there.
You're lamenting that. You could have been there.
Yeah, I could have been a contender. But anyway, I'm not.
Here's your chance, though. You can right now, if you want, right now, before we talk about tomorrow night's debate, here's your opportunity, first time ever, to say with Bernard and Sid, I am running for president in 2020.
There you go. If I'm alive in 2020. I'll be following IMUS, I think. But anyway.
Say you're going to be challenging Donald Trump in the primary in 2020.
Actually, Donald Trump, you know, everyone wonders why Donald Trump is doing well and everything. The fact is, I don't even know if people are following that carefully, what he's saying. The fact is, he's raising issues. He's speaking out. It's not the same political BS. It's not the talking point.
Exactly right.
And people are really, they find it refreshing, and he doesn't care. Like the other day when he says he wants to pay as little tax as possible. Well, everybody feels that way.
Right.
But instead, when you're running, I wouldn't pay everything I can. Trump talks like a real guy.
Unlike the other members of your party who seem to take offense, and I guess they have to, when he says some of the things that he says. See, I always say this. I am less angered and more inspired by what Donald says. I feel like you're in the same boat, yes?
Yeah, I mean, listen, you know, what he says about Mexicans, John McCain, I disagreed with that. Having said that, certainly when it comes to immigration, he's raising the illegal immigration issue, and he does it the way guys on the street talk. I've never heard anyone say that Donald Trump has a bigoted bone in his body.
No.
And he just talks the way guys do in the street.
That's
corner.
Right. And yeah. And he will build a wall. I mean, how hard is it to build a damn wall, for God's sakes? We send people to the moon. I mean, they built the Great Wall of China, as he was talking about with O'Reilly last night. And we can't build a wall and keep people. I agree with you on the path to citizenship. I'm down with you and Jeb Bush, as far as the people are here already. But you got to stop the bleeding.
Yeah, and what I always say is you don't do any of that stuff until you have the illegal immigration stopped.
Right.
At that time,
exactly.
Then you can legalize and ultimately a pathway to citizenship, because you don't want 11 million people living in their own nation here in the United States. But, again, that's a long process. The first thing and the main thing is you got to stop the illegal immigration, and you got to go after the employees who hire these guys when they come in.
Right. So you're on the Trump train.
Secure the border and start there. But then with that said, does that become for you tomorrow night? There's a lot on the table. You've got the Iran deal, obviously. You've got ISIS, which Bernard talked about earlier. You've got foreign policy. Is immigration for you the biggest issue tomorrow night?
No, to me, the biggest issue is security. It's terrorism. But I think that immigration becomes a metaphor, a way to open up and get people talking. But no, we have to. ISIS, Al-Qaeda, and you have to. Somebody would take on the New York Times, the Civil Liberties Union, and go after them and call them the phony hypocrites they are.
It's funny, we were just talking about what the biggest threat is. We were talking about Iran versus the ISIS threat. And ISIS is what's, as James Comey has pointed out, ISIS and Al-Qaeda is what keeps him up at night.
Right.
And the social media, the inspiration they're giving to some of these losers here in this country, that's the big danger that we face. Although Iran is a bad place in a bit. We don't want it expanding, and their hegemonistic designs they have on the Middle East. We don't want any of that stuff. But still, as far as we're concerned here, it's ISIS inspiring these lunatics to pull off these lone wolf attacks in the United States.
Yeah, there's no doubt the day-to-day threat from ISIS is the most severe one we face. Long-term, obviously, Iran with nuclear weapons is, you know, couldn't be certainly an existential threat to Israel and a threat to us. But the day-to-day threat we have to worry about is ISIS and Al-Qaeda. And ISIS is brutal. And they're vicious, and that's why we need the NSA. That's why we need surveillance. That's why we need the FBI in the neighborhoods. That's why we need undercovers. We need all that stuff.
And that's why we need to get rid of guys like Rand Paul and Ted Cruz, among other reasons.
Well, taking Rand Paul, I mean, he's still talking about how the NSA is listening to his cell phone. It's all nonsense.
Right.
Those are lies that he's telling against his own government, the people who are keeping us safe. And it's disgraceful.
Then tell me this on a practical level, okay? What do we do to stop it? At this point, Obama has allowed this thing to go on way too long. The JV has become the varsity. We know that. We saw this in Tennessee just a couple of weeks ago. So what is the candidate tomorrow to have to say about ISIS that will ring true to you, a real practical way of at least limiting what these guys are trying to do?
Well, first of all, we have to stop them overseas, because that's where their base comes from. So we have to, with these bombing attacks, now we've been doing them for 11 months and no real impact.
Yeah, but minimal bombing.
Exactly. It's just, and also there's no one on the ground. You need forward operators on the ground. You need spotters. You need people to show who's there, because we have no intelligence over there whatsoever. Also, we have to put away this phobia about collateral damage. Let's face it, when you're in war...
That's what I just said a half hour ago.
People are going to be killed, and it's going to be some innocent people. You don't try to kill civilians, but, I mean, there's been instances with Al-Qaeda where you'll have four guys getting into a car that you know are Al-Qaeda. Suddenly a fifth guy gets in. They're not sure who he is. They call off the attack.
Right. That's
this is crazy. It's
As a matter of fact, Congressman King, I cited the example. Tomorrow is the 70th anniversary of the bombing of Hiroshima.
Right.
There was some collateral damage there, but you know what it did? It saved a lot of American lives. It saved my kids wouldn't be here. Their grandfather was sitting in Europe waiting to go over to invade Japan. And the bombing, a lot of collateral damage, saved his life, saved my kid's life. And exactly, you're exactly right. That's what we have to bomb effectively instead of all this, you know, bombing the left edge of the top roof of the building or whatever the hell they're doing.
But can you actually just bomb? I mean, eventually, I can't imagine this not being the case. Eventually, there's got to be some boots on the ground. We hate to say that, but there's got to be some boots on the ground.
First of all, we need boots on the ground to be spotters on the ground. But then we also have to embed them with the Iraqi army. We have to have some Americans in there. NCOs, officers, to keep them together, because that was not that bad an army before we pulled out, and then you had the Maliki turn it into a political corruption show, and that's why
they
the army...
2010, Ramani, Fallujah, they were doing a good job.
But that's who we died for. That's who we sent our guys over to die for Maliki and these guys that eventually aligned with Iran. And so anyway, if you send a force over now, a ground force, now I'm not talking about the spotters, but if you send over a force to annihilate, which we no doubt could... In 2 or 3 months, but once you are on the ground and you defeat ISIS and you're there, you can't just leave. You have to establish. You have to leave behind a viable governing system. In other words, you have to nation build again. So you'll have guys dying, and then you'll be nation building, and you're making the same mistake again. Which is why the countries that are there should do the damn fighting themselves, even if it's the Iranians.
Yeah, but the fact is, if we had stayed in 2011,
that's right.
There were no American casualties. We were not being targeted, but we kept the government together. They needed adult supervision. And by us being there, we could keep the pressure on Maliki. Now, I agree, it's very tough, but Iraq, if we let Iran do the fighting, then Iran establishes itself as the real power in the Middle East, and that's a real long-term threat.
That is a problem. And now, speaking of which, he's not quite your colleague. I guess he is your colleague. Senator Schumer...
Right.
He's taking a lot of heat. As you and I were talking during the break about the New York congressional delegation, they're all the Democratic delegation, which is what the New York delegation is. They're Democrats mostly, with the exception of yourself, I think, right?
And also Lee Zeldin. And now we have Dan Donovan in Staten Island. And Zeldin, Donovan, and I are against the agreement.
Sounds like a good law firm.
Yes, here you go. But actually, what really has to be a surprise to the White House, you've had Kathleen Rice, who was elected as a hardcore Democrat. You have Steve Israel, who was the Democratic campaign chairman. You have Grace Meng, who is a real rising star in the Democratic Party. You have Nita Lowey, who's been there a quarter of a century.
Yeah.
She's the top Democrat on the Appropriations Committee. They've all come out against this agreement. This goes right to the heart of the Democratic Party.
What are they going to do? What is this administration going to do? Do you think at the end of the day the Congress actually shoots this thing down?
It's going to be a tough vote. We have to get at least 45 Democratic votes in the House and at least 12 or 13 in the Senate. And that could be a tough fight when they get all that pressure coming from the administration.
But now you have a guy like Chuck Schumer who hasn't come out yet. I mean, it's not like he hasn't had time to read the deal. He knows what it's all about.
He's a weasel.
He is a weasel. So what they're doing, what he's doing, this comes from Michael Goodwin in the New York Post this morning. They'll just line up enough votes to get the Iran measure through and give a pass to vulnerable Democrats to vote against it. Schumer will vote against it, knowing it will pass. In other words, they're pulling a sneaky he's waiting to see that they have enough votes to make it pass, and then he can vote and say, I was against it. But it's just being a cynical, manipulative, typical corrupt politician.
Yeah. Okay, here we go. First of all, I work with Chuck on a lot of issues, so I'll leave
it
at that.
I take it all back.
Including 9/11 healthcare is a key one that's coming up for a vote in the next few months.
No.
So we have to work together. And having said that, Chuck is in a key spot. If Chuck came out against the agreement, that would sway any number of Democrats in the Senate. And whether it's Chuck or anyone else involved, I know there's Democrats, as we've done on the Republican side. I try to stay out of that stuff. But when a vote has to be taken, they try to get the... set up enough guys who get an easy vote, who can vote no or you vote yes, depending on what's needed.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then when the key moment comes, they can take a walk. So they try to work it out in a way. And whether it's going on, actually, all kidding aside and putting all the cynicism aside, you would hope that when it comes to the security of the country, we're not like talking a bridge or a tunnel.
Exactly.
We're talking about life and death. Yeah.
But Schumer, and I know you can't say it, but I can say it, he's not stepping up at all. He's really.
How about this? I'll take it a step further. He's a horrible person.
I'm not getting into
Congressman
that.
King has
no, I actually have a good working relationship with Chuck, so I'm not getting into that.
Come on, Pete.
But, Sid, you're always trying to start trouble.
Speaking of starting trouble, Congressman King was on with me a few weeks ago on the Imus in the Morning program, and I said, given the choice, you pick one.
Yeah.
Who would you rather punch in the face, Ted Cruz or Rand Paul?
Ooh, good question.
And Congressman King's response was...
I hit one with the left and the other with the right.
without missing a beat.
See, that is a great answer.
You know, but these are two hypocrites. A, they for dismantling our national security, they have like Ed Snowden posters in their bedroom. And B,
Rand Paul more than Cruz. Rand Paul.
That's right. Rand Paul more than Cruz. And also, but aid for post Sandy relief, you had Rand Paul and Ted Cruz, both of them against it. Yet, when they had tornadoes and floods in their respective states, they voted for aid for their states, and they wanted to screw New York. Congressman King was one of the leaders.
Thank God.
That got the Sandy relief here to alleviate a lot of the problems that we had.
That was absolutely disgraceful. I mean, all the years I've been in Congress, whenever we had a tornado, like, for instance, with Katrina, within 11 days, we voted $65 billion in 11 days. In New York, and then it ended up being about $75 million altogether. With Sandy, where the damage was much worse, it took us 3 months. All the office was $29 billion, and we needed 80. We ended up getting, I think, 65, 66 million, a billion. But, I mean, it was a fight that took from October to February before we got it.
And so unnecessary. To this day, Governor Christie gets slammed for hugging Obama.
Walking the beaches with Barack Obama.
In the days after Sandy. Yeah. I mean, some people are just out of their minds. Yeah. Just relax.
You got to put politics aside.
They don't
aside.
Understand the emotion, the damage, the stuff that happened. But Peter King, Congressman King, congratulations to you for leading the charge and helping alleviate. And I live in Long Beach. I live in Lido Beach.
And I represent you at that time.
That's right.
That was the last 2 months of...
That's right. On a serious note, though.
But hold on a second. Sid. I just want to say Long Beach is back. Thanks to your efforts. Long Beach is terrific. They have annual fireworks. It's gorgeous. Movies on the beach. Brand new boardwalk. And rebuilt. And so people come to Long Beach. And once again, a lot of thanks to Congressman Peter King for that. Go ahead, Sid.
Now, when you talk about Long Island, which, of course, you've done such a great job with, and they talk about the great people of Long Island, who are you most proud of? When they go, in other words, there's a Bernard McGurkle, Boomer Esiason. Who's your guy?
Well, Bernard is a better athlete. I mean, Boomer's a good friend. But Bernard,
he was a quarterback with the Jets.
No, I saw Bernard's boxing style. He was fighting some pug when I forget who it was on television. Some Jewish guy. He was fighting him. I think he was the cousin of a senator or something. Anyway, I saw that. And I saw the skill that Bernard had. But no, actually, Boomer's a great guy. Let me say one thing Boomer has done, a lot of things he's done. He has been very helpful to 9/11 families and all that. Behind the scenes.
His offices are right there up by Cantor Fitzgerald. I mean, right underneath it, I think.
A lot of charity work.
If I can go back to Long Beach, I was down on the boardwalk last Saturday. I don't represent anymore, but they give me a visa to come in every now and then. I can hang out. But Larry Elvis, a good friend of mine, he died several years ago, and they had a memorial race for him on the boardwalk. And it was just beautiful to see the boardwalk, to see the people. It's back. The people were there. And of course, Larry's a good friend. Too bad he's gone. But again, just the job that's been done. And I remember being down there after Sandy, and it was like going to a third world country.
It was horrible.
Especially down the West End.
That's right.
It was absolutely. In fact, we were walking down the street toward the boardwalk with Janet Napolitano, who was the Homeland Security Secretary. We were halfway down the block before she realized we were not on the beach.
Wow.
The sand was so high, she thought these were actually homes that were built on the beach.
It was awful. Yeah. And again, props to you, Congressman King, for getting the relief and getting it all back. And it is all back up and running. So come to Long Beach, folks. This is the Geraldo Show. Sid Rosenberg, Bernard McGurk, and Congressman Peter King. The number, 866-437-2536. 866 Geraldo, give us a call for Congressman King.
We'll be
back after this. Back on 77 WABC, Bernard McGurk, Sid Rosenberg sitting in with the Congressman Peter King from Long Island. Long live the King is what I'm saying.
There you go. Great to be here.
It is great to have you, Congressman. I can tell you that. And Sheldon from Oceanside, New York, he wants to ask you a question, Congressman.
There you go, Sheldon. How you doing?
How you doing? First of all, I have a Peeler's boiler, and
there you go. All right.
And it's great. Second of all, I'm an avid walker on the boardwalk, and we certainly thank everybody, and especially Congressman King, for everything that he did.
Thank you, Sheldon. Thank you.
And I want to say, to Peter King, you are the best of the best. We follow you all the time, and we have to try to get the Honorable Senator Schumer to verbally say how he is going to vote on this disgusting Iranian deal that was made here. You know, he never read Obamacare bill, but it didn't stop him from voting for it. And here he goes around saying, I have to take a look at it carefully. You know, I read his face very well. Obviously, he read it, And obviously, he's trying to con especially the Jewish community in New York. But, you know, we can't be conned. And
that is correct, Sheldon. And Congressman King has some thoughts on it.
Yeah, there's no doubt. Listen, you know, Chuck is on the line. This is a key vote. I certainly hope Chuck decides to vote no, and I'll leave it at that. I don't want to be getting into anything personal. Actually, I do get along well with Chuck on this one. He's in a tough spot. But the important thing, I think, is to come down against the agreement because it's really bad for the country.
All right. Thanks for the call, Sheldon. Congressman King, in our last minutes with you here, you are an avid boxing fan, and you have boxed in Mulcahy's out in Long Island. Do you have any plans to get in the ring? What are you doing?
Well, I work out actually in Belmore Kickboxing Gym with my trainer, Chris Cardona. Every week we go around. He beats the hell out of me. He calls himself the Italian Stallion. He says I'm an overweight, overage Mick. Yeah. And we have that going on. But no, listen, I may do it again. I actually boxed Josh Foley two years ago. As he said, it was real layups, real jump shots, but no slam dunks. Otherwise, he would have killed me. But I survived the two rounds.
I saw the video. He looked pretty good. Looked better than me.
Rocky King, baby.
There you go.
That's what I'm saying. Well, Congressman King, it's great to have you here on the Geraldo Show, 77 WABC.
Thank you, Bernard. Thank you, Sid.
Good to see you, pal.
It again. Sid and Bernard in for Geraldo. 866-Geraldo is the number. Call us back after this. Back on the Geraldo Show. 77 WABC. I hate to let the music stop. Get into it. Sid Rosenberg, Bernard McGurk in for the great Geraldo.
Aerosmith, just so you know. You know that already, though.
I think it's the Beastie Boys.
I'm not sure which one it is it? Aerosmith did it with the Reverend Run. That's when the song became big again. But this is the Beastie Boys. I think you're right.
Like this. It's Run DMC. You're right.
Yeah. God, I love Peter King. Is he not great or what?
He's the best. He's long lived the king. I really wish he had gotten into the race and he was on TV tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Even if it's the little kids' table. He's a good guy. He's a fun guy, and he's a good leader, a good statesman. Headed the Homeland Security Committee for a long time. Now he's a member of it.
You know, that reminded me, after 9-11, I'll never forget this. It was maybe 2 months after 9-11, and we were doing the show, the IMUS show, from the Intrepid. Do you remember this? So
I do. Yeah.
So Imus is on the phone.
They gave us Marine Corps uniform.
Yes, they did. Yeah. And it was a great show. But Imus is on the phone with Tom Ridge, who at the time was the director.
This is November of 2001.
Exactly right. 2 months after 9-11, Imus is on the phone with Tom Ridge. My phone buzzes that a plane has just crashed in Rockaway. And I'm going, my God, no way again. So I walk over to Imus. I whisper in his ear. I go, hey, you're on the phone with Tom Ridge, just so you know. Another plane just went down to New York City.
That's right.
And he actually told
Tom Ridge
because we told him.
I remember it like it was yesterday.
Yes.
Exactly right. And he said, okay, in that case, I better go.
I better go.
And I said, I think that's a good idea.
Right.
So it didn't bode well for our national security.
No.
Tom Ridge is a good man.
Yeah.
But, you broke the news.
I broke the news.
You broke the news to the government that there was a plane down.
Right. I was the guy.
And nobody, it turned out to be the Dominican plane that was just a crash. Accident.
Yeah.
But nobody knew at the time.
Nobody knew.
They closed the bridges again.
Shut down the airspace, and people died in their homes that day in Rockaway. People were sleeping upstairs in their homes, and the plane debris killed them.
That's right.
It was a horrible story.
Horrible, horrible, horrible. Now, this is the Geraldo Show. 866, give us a call. 866-437-2536. 866-Geraldo. We're going to be taking your calls. I got a couple of clips I want to play, though. First of all, on the debate tonight, tomorrow night, excuse me, Governor Christie, he said that he invoked Donald Trump. This is what he said. Cut 14, Mike.
If Donald tries to interrupt me, I can guarantee you that that's not something that I take from a reporter in the gaggle, and it won't be anything I'll take from somebody who's standing on that stage.
Oh, snap.
Oh,
come on, let's do this.
Yeah, Chris.
We get in a wrestling match.
Yeah, we'll cause some traffic down on Fifth Avenue.
So last night, last night on O'Reilly, Trump said this about Chris Christie.
Chris Christie and you're friends with Governor Christie, right? So I don't expect that to happen. But I think Rand Paul, he may throw a few.
Yes, I am.
Yeah, I think Rand Paul.
We'll see what happens.
We'll see what happens. We want to see it throw down.
He won't go after him once again because of the casino relationship in Atlantic City. You saw Donald there. He goes, yes, I am. Yes, I am. He did not fire back at Chris, and he won't do that tomorrow night either. I guarantee you that.
Well, yeah, but Christie did.
Christie did, but Donald won't. See, Christie can. He's the governor of New Jersey.
Because I'm a businessman. I'm not stupid.
He's not stupid.
I'm not a stupid.
He knows what his interests are.
Speaking of stupid, Gawker, the liberal website Gawker, they released Donald Trump's phone number. Remember, he released Lindsey Graham.
Lindsey Graham, yeah.
Right, so they released Donald.
Let me ask you a question. Did you call Lindsey when he released his number?
No.
I did. I
did.
Yeah.
Did you really?
Oh, yeah, like 16 different prank calls.
You have a date?
Yeah.
Anyway, Gawker releases Trump's phone number. So what does Trump do? He leaves a message on the machine, and this is the message.
This is Donald Trump, and I'm running for the presidency of the United States of America. With your help and support, together, we can make America truly great again. Visit me on Twitter @RealDonaldTrump and check out my campaign website at www.DonaldTrump.com. Hope to see you on the campaign trail. We're going to do it.
The mailbox is full. I cannot
accept any messages
at this time.
Come on, man. You know, I don't see anybody standing in this guy's way.
Wow. I mean, what could Scott Walker or Jeb Bush or Marco Rubio or Cruz or Paul or any of these guys do anything close to that?
No. And he has just skyrocketed in a month and a half to the top of the pack, and he's the trajectory is up, up, up.
Yeah. Because we're morons. You do realize that, though, that Ron Kuby and folks like that think that we're morons, and they are celebrating Donald Trump goes up in the polls.
Yeah, and they have better alternatives. They have a liar, a woman who's corrupt, a woman who smeared and slandered sexual harassment victims, a woman who rode her husband's coattails to where she is. Yeah. She's no Carly Fiorina.
Let me
tell
you. No,
Carly Fiorina is a self-made woman.
Yes.
This woman rode her husband's coattails, and she's as corrupt and phony and plastic and a robot. Do you want me to tell you
Sanders?
How I really feel? Bernie Sanders. He is a disheveled old nut job, a nutcake, and a half a pervert. He's written some things about women fantasizing about rape.
Right.
He's out of his mind.
Right.
Martin O'Malley's apologizing for saying that all lives matter, you stupid schmuck.
Right.
All lives do matter,
of course.
You idiot. Right. You apologize for that?
Yeah.
Get out of the race, you moron.
So who's left? Jim Webb and Lincoln Chafee
is a
joke.
Good man. Lincoln Chafee, again, he's the guy, they probably took a short bus to work at the state capitol up in Rhode Island.
Yeah,
I don't know. It's so Ron Kuby can laugh all he wants, but I don't see anybody stopping Donald Trump.
Well, I'll tell you what. I thought it was very revealing yesterday when you and I had Chuck Todd on. And for 2 days talking about Joe Biden entering the race and being the 2008 version to Hillary what Barack Obama was back in 2008, that he beat her and Biden can do the same. And it was Chuck Todd who told us yesterday he is pretty convinced Joe Biden is not going to run.
Right. It's all speculation at this point. People more in doubt. I mean, who knows? People say he's going to run. But here's a point I made on O'Reilly last night. Bernie Sanders and Joe Biden are both older now than John McCain was in 2008.
That's right.
But the media, the liberal media, they don't bring up their age and their health and all, as they did with McCain repeatedly, the John Stewarts of the world. Nothing about the old nutcake Sanders age.
Right.
Nothing. But McCain, that's all you ever heard about back then.
Well,
and plus, what are they, misogynists? This woman is... I mean, they're going to stop a woman from breaking the ultimate glass ceiling?
That's even worse.
Liberal Democrats?
Yeah, let's
I mean, aren't they supposed to be... talk about the war against women. Let the lady, let her run.
And let's not forget, they jumped all over Donald Trump for his remarks about John McCain, which was stupid. And, of course, John McCain's war hero.
That's idiotic.
Yes, right. But in the end, let's not forget that back in 2008, there were plenty of liberals that were saying the same exact thing. And they just felt it very convenient this time around to jump all over Donald Trump.
Very true. The hypocrisy on display. Let's take some calls. The number here, 866-Geraldo. Let's go to Jimmy from Brewster, New York. Jimmy?
Hello, Bernie and Sid. I can't believe it.
What the deal?
Listen, I'm 76. I remember every day of Harry Truman's tenure.
Really?
I was a kid, but it felt awful good to be an American.
Was he a senator?
I remember Ronald Reagan, and it felt good. It's a lot different now with this cardboard cutout in the White House we have as president. But everything Donald Trump says, I listen to. And, he just makes sense to me.
Yeah.
Well, you know, let me ask you this, Bernard, based upon the caller's point just now, and we both agree with him. We're still hearing every single time somebody talks about Donald Trump, they feel like they need to add this. At what point is this thing going to stop? At what point is Donald Trump going to quit? At what point is he going to be exposed? When's it going to be over? I don't feel like we're even close to that, do you?
Oh,
even close?
No. The trajectory is up, up, up. There's nothing he says, he's Teflon Don. Nothing's going to stop him. I mean, short of, he's collaborating with ISIS or something like that.
Right.
Nothing is going to stop this guy. I don't see him. When he sets his sights on a Hillary Clinton and the two of them go head to head, if he gets the nomination, which at this point it looks like he will, I mean, he's going to destroy her. She's going to be a disaster. I don't see anything stopping this guy. Trump.
Did you think when he first started doing well, in your heart of hearts, honestly, that this was pretty much a sideshow and you did not take him very seriously as a candidate? Now you really think he will last all the way through the primaries?
Not only that, I said the day that he made the announcement that the Mexican comments, I thought that was
it.
You were doing fine up until that point.
Yeah.
I said that on the Fox show outnumbered, as a matter of fact, and I thought he was done.
And then you texted me at 3 o'clock in the morning after the McCain comments, and he said, "Now he really blew it, didn't he?"
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
That is what I thought. Listen, but I think everybody thought that. But he's apparently nothing phases him. And by the way, all the candidates, Ted Cruz, Scott Walker, even Carly Fiorina, they went out to this billionaire conference, this Koch brothers conference.
Yeah, yeah.
They're all sucking up to these guys for the money. Well, Donald Trump doesn't have to do that.
No.
The Sheldon Adelsons of the world, the Koch brothers of the world, he doesn't have to answer to anybody. He's not beholden to anybody. And he's a man with nothing to lose. And that's a great place to be. With that said, let's go to Dan from my old home, my hometown, the Boogie Down Bronx. Dan, what's up?
Hey, hi, guys. How you doing today?
Hey there.
Could be worse.
I see you had Peter King on. I was hoping to speak with him. I wanted to find out, and maybe you touched on it before, about the closing of the military prison in Guantanamo Bay, Cuba. I know that the president is gearing up to make some kind of announcement, and it seems that he's been dealing from the bottom of the detainees there, sending them to different countries, making different deals. And I'm a 9/11 family member, and I'd like to know what's going on with the guys, the top five guys in the deck. Are we going to send them to Club Med? We've been tortured with this now for 14 years. We have waited. Bush almost had it. President Obama is not interested in prosecuting these guys. I'd like to put this behind me.
But,
also, I wanted to ask Peter King, and I've asked him before, about the 28 redacted pages from the 9/11 Commission report, supposedly maybe implicating another foreign government. And what he said to me, we can't do that right now because we're doing something with that government. And when do we get to put this behind us? You know, I got to take this out as Christmas decorations every September 11th.
Mm. Yeah,
I would like to get this behind us.
Yeah.
Well, so what do I do? You guys are smart.
Would you
ask Mr. O'Reilly what's going on with these prisoners down there?
Listen, Dan, you just posed the question. I'm sure Peter King is out in his limousine listening right now, I'm sure he's all over. You know, he represents your interests, and he's down with you, and doesn't want to close Guantanamo and the deal for the Bergdahl guy. I mean that. That there was a silver lining to it in that I think it increases everybody's resolve to keep Guantanamo, not to release these people.
Right.
So if there was a silver lining to that Bergdahl thing, that was it. But in any case, we're sorry for your loss.
Very sorry.
Dan, and let's go to Jess from Freehold. Jess.
Great show, guys. You guys are dangerous because when Sid brought out the Jew card, I almost ran off the road.
The Jew card.
But did you agree? That's the question.
That's why I said, finally, somebody's saying something correct. I mean, I'm conservative. I wasn't always conservative. I grew up, okay, unlike a lot of my liberal family and friends who are still naive and believe in the old-fashioned way.
And by the way, most Jews, they poll Jews, most Jews are for the Iran deal.
Yeah.
The majority of Jewish people are for the Iran deal.
Because,
and speaking of that, which the guy coming up after us, Ron Kuby, is one of them.
Which again, shows you how dangerous people are, that people would put their political agenda ahead of their own security and their own people's security tells you how sick these people are. Michael Savage says it best, liberalism is a disease and there is no cure.
I don't. Jesse, you still there?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, why do you think it's naivete, or maybe these people think it's a good deal?
It's naivety, and like Sid said, is they still have this thing that the Democratic Party is for the poor people, and the Republican Party is for the rich people, and that's old. And you know, most of the people who are conservative are middle class and upper middle class.
All right.
You know, those that ship is flowing. One other thing, but I think Trump should, when he gets up there, he should quote the late Roddy Piper.
Oh, God rest his soul.
I am here right. to chew gum and shoot people, and I'm all out of gum.
There you go.
Hey.
That was a horrible loss a couple of days ago.
Man.
Roddy Piper.
Yeah, terrible.
Terrible loss.
Terrible loss.
One of the all-time greats.
And Ronda Rousey paid tribute to him at the end of her fight.
Oh, Ronda Rousey did? Really?
Ronda Rousey
did.
Oh, cool. Yeah, she was cool. She took her name from... He gave her permission to use the name Rowdy Ronda Rousey.
I didn't know that.
And she gave him props that night, right? The first thing out of her mouth as she stood there with her arm in the air with the victory. Anyway, the Geraldo Show, Bernard McGurk, Sid Rosenberg, 866-GERALDO, back after this. Back on the Geraldo Show, Bernard McGurk, Sid Rosenberg, 77 WABC. We want to do a shout-out to Sid's parents out in Brooklyn. Harvey and Naomi Rosenberg, I see you. I see you. You know what it is, Harvey. You
Thank
know
you.
What it is, That's Naomi.
You better do one more while you're at it. The former great Giant quarterback who texted me moments ago, Phil Sims,
Phil
listening
Sims.
Right now.
Phil
big
Sims, shout-out to Phil Sims. You know what it is, Big Phil. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying right there. Let's go to Eddie from Long Island City. Eddie, what's up, Eddie?
Hey, real quick. Trump will not even finish the debate tomorrow. He'll be on the stage. One of the moderators will say something stupid to him, or one of the other people on the stage will say something stupid. He'll just get ticked off, walk off the stage, and leave all of them looking stupid.
You think he's just going to... His feelings will be hurt?
I think he's not hurt. He doesn't know what to say up there. He's going to take a walk and leave them all hanging. Come on.
You think he's not going to soil his pants and get scared?
Hey, he's old enough for the pens, isn't he?
Curtis and Kobe up next, folks.